you know, was it? But the, so as the, as a result, there was there were often jobs available, and people would take them. Many people didn't speak English. My grandmother never learned to speak English. A number of people, you know, would just speak the language of whatever country they came from, and they would have these little enclaves. Downtown people, there was a Greek section, a Portuguese section. There were others that, you know, there were not very many blacks. There still aren't in Peabody. It's a very small black population. We were getting more Hispanics in to work in the factories, but the general population of Peabody was more a WASP type of population. And those I didn't have as much contact with. There were a lot of the Lithuanians here for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. But again, just various one immigration group that happened to come here when there were jobs, mm-hmm. And we were Lithuanian. So let's see, what the Peabody? There was Tex Paris and the Peabody Light Commission, which was fairly unique, kept the cost of the electricity down, and it was not an expensive place to live. So it grew rapidly, as we mentioned. There were longtime Peabody residents, Mr. Bresnahan, who was a history teacher at the high school for years, and then had his family store up here on Washington Street, which, in later in life, used to be a delight to go into because he'd have boxes of products that had been sitting on the shelves for many decades. And no intention of ever selling anything. It had a pot-bellied stove in the middle of the small general store, and you go in and sit and talk to him. And it was obvious that he was just keeping the store open just for tradition's sake, being a history buff and all. And that's now, you know, Bresnahan Court is the right next to where that was. I'm not sure whether he donated it or what, but he was an old, his great Peabody figure. And of course, there was the churches. We were Catholics, and we went to St. Anne's. When I got to high school, though, St. Anne's didn't have a basketball team. So I fell in with a bunch of friends who were at the South Congregational Church, and they had a very active youth group. And they had a basketball team, so that's how I ended up there. So I sort of my good Catholic upbringing was corrupted. I had been a very good Catholic. I had been an altar boy and actually captain of the altar boys. We had quite a crew of priests there. It was an era where there was some controversy in the church about some of the things which were not at all good that went on in the church at that time, cardinal law and some of the activities around children and such. We were not cursed in our church with anything like that. In fact, we probably abused the priests more than they abused us. I can remember some practical jokes that were played. There's one particular priest, Father Ronan, who's a delightful old pastor, who was very devout, getting on in years. And one particular service, not myself, mind you, but one of the other altar boys, he used to love to sing the High Mass. And the High Mass, of course, everything was in Latin in those days, and he would go down and, you know, he had a terrible voice. It was, you know, ear-splitting to listen to, but he had spirit, that man did. He had the love of God in his heart. And he would go down, he would be singing the songs in Latin, and you know, people would, this would go on for an hour or so at these high masses. And so it was tedious if nothing else, to serve these masses repeatedly week after week. And so one day someone, they would also do some blessing. They had a little small bottle of holy water with a sprinkler on the end, sort of like you'd sprinkle on laundry when you're about to iron it to get the wrinkles out, to moisten it a bit. And so someone loosened the top of the bottle of holy water.